Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. There we go. It says, "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside, sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit.'" That blessed is meaning more than pure happiness, is despite what we're finding ourselves in. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful," that word came through this morning, "for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad." Say rejoice. "And be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So this morning, just very briefly, I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to help me on this one. One of the key things when Jesus was speaking on the side of the mountain, he loved to pull the people together. He worked specifically with some of the disciples, one-on-ones. But when he brought the people together, that's why Sunday meetings are so important. It's in that moment where Jesus preaches that the power of the Holy Spirit comes and he opens up the hearts of men and women. That's why it's so important for us to be ready for God to work in our lives, but at the same time, bringing your unsaved family and friends here or yet to be saved, bring them in so that God can work with them. Let God do business with them, but at least give them an opportunity. And so I want to encourage us as a congregation. Who are you inviting to next week's meeting? We've got Mornay and Irina. Mornay is the guy who's taking control of things here while Andrew's overseas. So they're going to be ministering with us. And I want you to invite your family and friends to come and be a part of what God is doing in our midst. So with that, I've titled this talk, "Follow the Thread." And this is part 3 of Follow the Thread. So I've been touching on that. And so I just want to highlight a few things out of the text that we've already worked with. So when we talk about poor in spirit, it shows how depraved we were, how lost we were. The gospel gets preached, you get saved. And so do I. Because we were poor in spirit. It had nothing to do with economics. Because rich and poor were lost to God until Jesus was preached to them. The second thing is when you got saved, what happens is our response to the gospel is we realized how much we sinned against God, and not only against God, but actually against others. And so often people, we will find ourselves in a place of mourning. And even today in our journey, we realize how much we've grieved God. And what happens is the Bible says that we would find comfort in the gospel. Isn't that amazing? For those of us this morning who are broken and hurting, let me say to you, get on your knees and find comfort with Jesus. Okay, the beautiful thing about that is God has brought comfort to so many of us. And so God works in us and through us to bring comfort. You know why? Because the hand of Jesus could be moving through a lady who's been hugely sick and is almost like a new person here today because we've missed her so much. And what happens is when you bless her with a meal or a phone call or whatever, it's the hand of Jesus reaching out to her, bringing comfort, saying you're being thought of, we love you, we miss you. Welcome back, Jean. Welcome back. It's so nice to see you. You've got a lovely, contagious smile. Love it. The third thing is, it talks about blessed are those who are meek. It talks about our posture. That when you get saved, your posture changes. Because what happens is, it's all about I, me, and myself. Now it's, Lord, I realize how big you are, how small I am. God, I need you. And today, I want to give my life over to you and let my life count for you. That's the beauty of following the thread of what the gospel does in us. And then lastly, with what I preached a few weeks ago, we are a people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. In other words, we desire more of God. I don't know about you this morning. Do you want to stay where you are right now? I want more, Lord. But the problem with, I would like more from you, God, is it needs to be less of me and more of you. Okay, so now the last 4 that I'm going to hit, and I'm going to do this as best as I can. All right, you guys with me? Seatbelt in. All right. If you need the bathroom, the bathroom lights are on because there's going to be turbulence. All right. Right, so we are a people that are merciful. And so this is the next part of following the thread. This is how God changes us. We are a people who are merciful. The Bible says in verse 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who is within one's power to punish or harm. Now, I want you to think about this. Look at your life and ask yourself this. Did I deserve God's mercy? It's His grace. It's His kindness that gets poured out over us. You know, you might have lived a life of total debauchery, and everybody has a story. Some of us have been caught up in alcohol, drugs. Maybe you've been divorced. Maybe you've had a licentious lifestyle, which means essentially you've just been sleeping around, and you've just the wheels have come off in your life's journey. But the kindness of God is that you hear the good news of Jesus, and God looks at you. And when you come to a place and you say, Lord, forgive me, He looks at you and He goes, Andre, I forgive you and I remember your sins no more. And He looks at you and He goes, I don't remember. It's gone. It's done. It's done. The problem is Satan will come and he will remind you of your past, because that's how he trips us up. And the problem is, for many of us, we believe the lies that are thrown at us rather than believing what God says about us. And it's tough because we're all in this journey together. But we need to see the mercy that God has shown to us. So James 2:13 says the following. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, mercy triumphs over judgment. And so the heart of God is that we as a people need to extend mercy to others. So let's look at two areas that we can do that. Firstly, is be kind to those that are less fortunate. Let's see Proverbs 21:13. It's not up there. It says, whoever shuts the ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. So what God is doing here, when He brings us into family, the reality church, we are living in a space. There are many, many poor people in our area. But we cannot, it's not possible to reach all of them. That's why God brings us into a family. And so when people come into this context and we see that there are people that are less fortunate, those that are struggling, those kind of things, our hearts should be compassionate towards people that are less fortunate. We don't stand in judgment of people. All right. And that's the heart of the church, is that we would extend that compassion and that kindness to those that are less fortunate. But can I say this morning? To those that might find themselves in that place, do not manipulate those that have. Hear me when I say that. We do not manipulate those that have. They've also got to come in with humble heart, and the heart is, Lord, I'm going to trust you, not look to man. That's the heart that we need to have. And as those that do have, our heart is, Lord, you've blessed me. How can I be a blessing? How can I serve those that are around me in a way that will honor you, God? We're just merciful and kind. The second thing which has come out this morning again is walk in total forgiveness. Matthew 6 verses 14 to 15 says the following. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And that's actually very, very powerful, because if you go and read the Lord's Prayer, we are expecting God to forgive us, but at the same time, the scripture that was brought earlier on by Greta, we are called to be merciful and to extend forgiveness to those that have hurt us and offended us. And the problem for many of us, if you are holding unforgiveness, you're giving Satan a foothold in your life, and he will have an absolute field day with you. Now, what does that mean for some of us? Because I know the questions that are being asked here this morning, but if someone hurts me, and I forgive them, do I need to be their best friend? No, you don't. We can still love one another. We can be cordial with one another. Love says we keep no record of wrongs. We believe the best. You go and read 1 Corinthians 13. How do you know that you've forgiven somebody truly, totally from the heart? Is that if somebody has offended you and hurt you, and let's say it's Robert who's offended and hurt me. The problem with Robert is he's bigger than me, so he can hurt me anyway. But if he's hurt me and he's offended me and we've sorted out an issue, that when I come into his midst, we might never be good friends in the sense of that we hang out all the time, but I never feel like a little bit of a needle in my heart. You know, like some of us have. We're all nodding their heads. Yes, okay. You know, we had this needle in our heart towards one another. It's like, you know what? I see Robert, amen, go for gold in God. All right. And so we need to ask ourselves this question. Is there any unforgiveness in my life towards others? Does that make sense? Are we good, yeah? All right. And then in Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35, it's that story of the servant who received mercy. And the heart of God is that you and I reflect on the mercy that has been poured out to us. And are we doing likewise with those that are needing mercy from us? That's not just here on a Sunday morning. This is in your areas of influence as well. Because God uses those things to shape our lives. The second main point is, a people who are pure in heart. It says, those who are pure in heart will receive the kingdom of God, for they will see God. Now, when we talk about the heart, what are we talking about here? We are referring to that which is the center of one's being, which includes your mind, your will, and your emotions. It is from this place, right, that what happens is our thoughts, our motives, courage, and action derives. This is where it all happens. Listen to what Jeremiah 17, verses 9 to 10 says. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The Lord searches the heart and examines the mind. Now, it's very interesting. Proverbs 4:24 says that our hearts are the wellspring of our lives. Why does this become important? Because we are called to guard our hearts. Okay? So, what does that mean for us? This morning, what do you expose yourself to in the week? What do you listen to? What TV programs? What are you watching on your computer? What conversations are we entertaining in the week that totally goes against what we see in Scripture? What are we holding on to? Because those things contaminate you. That sets it up, itself up against the things of God. So when you're watching porn, the bottom line is, if you're married, you're committing adultery. Bible says, if you so much as look at a woman and you lust, you have committed adultery. It's the hidden sins that we don't see that God is actually wanting us to deal with and to actually be forthright with, because it's those things that are holding us in bondage and in captivity. You will never move on in the things of God. The kindness of the gospel is that, yeah, you will not be judged. And I give you that undertaking from myself and my eldership team. You will not be judged, yeah. No matter what your sin is, we will love you and we will help you walk through the process of those things. But I need to warn you with this. The Bible says, carry one another's burdens. And it also goes on and says, but each one is to carry their load. That means we take ownership and responsibility of our lives, and we make sure that we honor God with our lives. Because there's not one person sitting here, including myself, that can say that they've got it all together. I was caught up in porn many years ago when my kids were very young. My wife has been a faithful lady all her life. She's never looked at porn. She didn't deserve that. I had to repent of that. I had to come before, and I had to make right with her, and also my walk with God. And so we got to guard our hearts with that which we give ourselves to, because that stuff will set you up against the things of God. What does that mean for us? As we are being equipped as the saints, that means that when you are talking to somebody and you hear that they're doing porn, or you hear, for example, and I can bring it out because Eugenia has spoken about it. She was lovingly spoken to, as she mentioned, by one of the elders because she wasn't tithing. Don't sit there and we're not in agreement with their situation and just basically take their hand and quietly lead them into hell. That's not what we're called to do. We've got to be very careful, because some of us are very quick to want to defend our friendships and our relationships at the expense of our walk with God, and actually are not helping people. We need to hold people accountable. Check their hearts and say, do you see what you're doing? Does this line up with God's word? And can we make adjustments here that will honor and please the Lord? Does this make sense to you? All right. And so we need to keep our consciences clean in all areas of our lives. The desire of God is that we look after ourselves and keep our hearts pure. And part of guarding our hearts is to be walking in accountable relationships and being discipled. Can I tell you what the easiest thing for you to do is to find somebody that will give you what you want to hear rather than what you need to hear. Go and find somebody that you know will tell you the truth in love versus agree with you and sort of be a bit more gentle with you, hoping that you'll come to your senses. My friend, let me tell you the danger of that. That should God call your number and you lose your life and God takes your breath away, for a Christ follower, we lose rewards and we gain rewards in heaven. If you're a Christ follower, you will be saved, but there's rewards for us. Don't you want to have everything that God has destined for us? So let's make sure we help people walk in that. All right. Daily seek God, repent of willful sin or even unknown sin. And that's something we need to do daily. You know, there are teachings out there by many groups that will say, once you've prayed the sin of forgiveness and you've received Jesus, you never have to repent again. That's not biblical. We need to constantly be seeking God. And the beautiful thing is, if you were under law, you had to wait once a year to come together where they had their sacrifices, that Jesus became the sacrifice for you and I, that right now you might be sitting here and you might even have an issue with me as I preach this message. And what happens? You've got to come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. And right now, if you forgive and you're sincere with the Lord, he says, I forgive you and I remember your sins no more. That's the grace. That doesn't mean we can keep carrying on with sinning because we can go and say sorry to the Lord later on. All right. Point number three. We are people who are peacemakers. There's the last 2 points. A people who are peacemakers. Biblically, a peacemaker is someone who reconciles people who were formerly in conflict. This is the beautiful picture of what Jesus' mission was when he came to earth. What did he do? He came to reconcile man back to God. Because we were enemies of God. And so the heart of love is God sent his son to die on the cross for you and I. And the heart of it is that you and I would be reconciled back to God to walk in fellowship and relationship with him as we walk out this life's journey. So I want to say to you this morning, if you do not have peace in your heart, maybe it's something that you need to consider and ask yourself, what area of my life is out of sync with the Lord? What is it that I need to adjust? Have I got an issue with somebody? Is there something that I'm not seeing? Get before the Lord. And if you're struggling, ask one of the folk in your comm group or get before the Lord as well and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, will you search my heart and show me what is missing? What is it that I need to shift and change? Just a few thoughts around there. Discord cannot produce righteousness. You can go and read that for those of you making notes, James 3 verses 16 to 18. Also with that, being peacemakers, the Bible tells us in Romans 14 verses 19, it says, we are to build one another up. All right, that's our heart. As Christ followers, we should be building one another up. And then also, we're told to be peacemakers with our enemies. And that's in Matthew 5 verses 44 to 45. So we've got to love our enemies. You've got to love your enemies, someone who's hurt me, someone who's betrayed me. You know what? Let me tell you, in the natural, if you're like me, it's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. Not walking in partial obedience, total obedience to say, God, I want to honor what your word teaches. And then my last point, I said to you I was going to really land this well. A people that will face persecution. I want to say to you this morning, coming to Christ, whoever sang that song, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Am I giving my age away here? Some of you have never heard it, but some of you have, and I can see the guys who have. Okay, guys. If anybody's ever told you that you come to Jesus and all will be well, you have been fed a lie. It will be well with my soul. But I'm going to tell you something. With the years of westernized culture and indoctrination and the indoctrination of everything that is cut across what Scripture teaches us, you will face yourself in a space that God has got to ring the changes in our lives. And so this becomes very important for us to realize that we will face persecution. If you are not facing persecution as a Christ follower, there's a couple of things that you need to consider. Number one, you're probably not in deep enough. Number two, you potentially are compromising what the gospel teaches. And number three, could I give you a sense of encouragement? Hold fast, it's coming. Hold fast, it's coming. Because you know, we can never grow if we don't face challenges. We can never grow if we don't have trials. And I've seen some of the people, this couple here, Edward and Nadia, I've seen their lives. If there's ever people that I felt at one point, I thought, God, I don't even know if they're going to stick it out. I've wept for their daughter. I just come into their presence and I just cry. But they've stuck it out. They've stuck it out. They've been faithful. And there are some of you here this morning, you've found yourself in difficult spaces. You've got to stay the course. That's why you need the church. But the church needs you. The church isn't here for you. You are here for the church so that God can use your gifts, your talents, your abilities, and your resources and your life to build into us, to strengthen us, and then also work through us so that the lost can be brought in and saved and discipled. Matthew 10, verses 21 to 23 says the following, and I'll be landing shortly. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So, as we look at this, there's a couple of things here. Persecution will come in many ways. All right? And when we look at that, it's going to come through family and friends. There will be economic moments. You know, if you look out at the Bible, throughout history, God dealt with the nation of Israel through war, calamity. There was droughts. You just have to go and read. And the thing is, God often allows certain things. Doesn't cause all of them, because there was some of the stuff that Israel brought in themselves. But he allows certain things. So that what happens is, we come to our senses, and we realize how much we need God. That's the heart of God. Some of us will bring what we deem to be persecution on our own lives because of choices and decisions. All right, that's not necessarily persecution. It's just not wise. I just think sometimes we're unhelpful with the way that we operate. That's why it's good to get perspective. Don't just make decisions to relocate, buy a house or a car. Get insight, get perspective. As elders, we can't tell you what to do. But the problem is sometimes people make decisions, and once they in that thing, and the pawpaw hits the fan, then they want us to rescue it. And when we don't, then it's like we're the pariahs. We're the ones that have done something wrong here. Get perspective on these things. We're there to help you, and we've got to trust God that he anoints the leaders enough to give you some form of insight. And so with that, there will be economic loss. And so the other thing is, I want to show you something else where we can get persecution that can come from bringing the truth. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So when I look at this, I want to share a story with you. Years ago, this stewardship teaching that Edward did this morning, we used to do that on a Sunday morning, and I wonder perhaps how often that could be happening in our own midst. But what happened was, I remember one Sunday, we did the stewardship teaching, and a guy came to me after the meeting, and they'd been walking with us for a while, and they said they loved Jesus and so on. And the guy got up and he said to me, you know what the problem is with the church? Do you know why the church won't grow? I said, no, help me. I don't, you know, I'm not that clever. He says, because all you guys talk about is money. I said, oh. He says, yeah. Whenever I come in, that's all we talk about is money. I said to him, well, that's strange, because if I look at my preach today versus what he presented was 2 to 3 minutes, how much would you say was a money issue? The heart of God was being presented. Truth was being presented. Let me tell you why he got offended. Because he didn't have. And because of his sin and choices and decisions and not being willing to obey what the Word of God taught, it was very easy to criticize what we were doing in our meetings. And I've had people challenge me even with the word in terms of words that I brought. And Rudy, Andre, Gunter, these guys will know. Where, for example, one of the things I've said in a meeting, I said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it is possible that you will speak in tongues, but then also the evidence of it is that people will praise God. And I was challenged in that area. You see, when we are in a space where we bring truth, and truth gets brought, and it was picked up last week, the grace of God comes in. We say, oh, there was something that was pretty much out of line. There wasn't attack on Roland when he brought the word. What was brought was, hey, Roland, we just need to get clarity on something here. Maybe I've misunderstood. If I've not taught correctly, I need to get up and repent in front of this group of people. And there was grace between us. Did you guys see the grace this morning that came? So what can happen is it can turn very quickly and become persecution if we don't handle it with the right heart. And one of the things I've learned over the years as saints, never take anything for granted. Go and check even what I preach. All right? But if you come back with a heart of, I'm wanting to learn. I'm not trying to want to show you up. There's a big difference. Because if we need gatekeepers, then God gives us elders, not saints that have chosen to be gatekeepers on their own behalf. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. I hope that's helpful. And then I'm going to start landing here. James 1 verses 2 tells us that when we face these hardships, we need to know, and when there is persecution, whether it's family, friends, economics, whatever the story might be, you need to know that you need to count it a pure joy. This last story of mine, I'm living this story at the moment. My family, out of my whole family, I was the only one that got saved. 3 weeks before my sister died, I led her to the Lord. But I want to tell you that my life's journey, over 20-odd years, my family had issue. Because you know what? The argument was always, but you're always at a church function. You can never be with us. You can never do this. You're always at a church function. And so I faced persecution in the life of the church. I was through the church. I found myself in a situation as well at one point where what happened was one of our family members, we were asked to be godparents. And then what happened was they then decided they were going to bring in a minister from New Age. And what basically was being told to the minister is that you're not to mention God. So I went to them and I said, guys, I can't agree to this. If you're asking me to raise your child in the things of God, if you get taken out, you need to know I'm going to bring your son up in the biblical values that we understand. And then we got dealing with the tree hugger, but you know, there's God in the tree. And I want to say to you, I was prepared for what was to be dished out, because from that day onwards, where I was told, I do not believe in the Bible. This is the biggest heap of rubbish. I gave the person my Bible and I said, if you really believe that, I want you to tear up this Bible. And he ventured to try and tear it up and just could not move to that place. I saw the power of God there. Look, it's a piece of paper. But we've got to look at the Spirit of God. I remember, as I stand here today, that was my experience. I'm going on a little bit longer here, but I want us to please hear this. For me, I saw the power of God that morning. And that day, I was never allowed to put my foot back on that property. I missed birthdays. Christmas functions were separate. And as a matter of fact, to the point that I eventually made a decision and I said, I will not give myself to that. I'll rather follow Jesus. Because I want to tell you something today as I stand here. Had we given into that and compromised that day to keep everybody happy in our family, I wouldn't be standing here today. And that is, I believe, is God is my witness. Sometimes we've got to take hard decisions. And I have no regrets regarding that. Fair comment? All right. I'm going to land with this. Jesus demonstrated something. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 to 23. And this is what we're going to land with. This is how we are called to operate when there's persecution. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now I want to tell you something. As I read the next part, I want to say to you, I have not got this right all the time. Rudy has sat with me in a meeting, and he actually saw me in one of these scenarios. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Verses 23. When they hurled, they insulted him, he did not retaliate. How many of you and I can say we don't do this? Come on, be honest. Am I the only guy? I don't know, when somebody gives me the gears, I'm like, what do you mean? When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. The example that Jesus set, go and read that scripture, spend some time. Just ask yourself, how are you responding when people persecute you? How are you responding in difficult situations? And you know what? Some of us are battling with anger issues. We need to trust God. Because sometimes these things are the triggers that show us actually the very things that God wants to deal with. So this morning, as I land, I want to say to you today, one of the first things, as we sit here, the heart of God is that He wants to capture your heart. If you are sitting here today, and you know, often we look at people on the left and the right, and we think because people are here on a Sunday morning, then they're saved. That's not necessarily the case. Some people can be in church for 5 years, and you think that they're saved, but they're not. The heart of God is for you to turn from your ways. And I want to ask you this morning, perhaps there is somebody here, because I know most of the folk here, but maybe you are here today, and you've never made a commitment to Christ. And now that you've heard this message this morning, that God takes those that are poor in spirit and He brings them into family, perhaps this morning is an opportunity for you to respond and say, man, I need Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life. I've been playing the religious game, but actually I need a relationship with Him. I want to ask, is there perhaps this morning, is there anybody here, just by the show of hands, we're not here to embarrass folk, but is there anybody here that says, man, that's me. I'm giving up. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. Is there anybody here this morning that wants to make that call? Okay. I take it that everybody's saved.